a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
A United Nations expert on human rights in North Korea has warned that the country's dictator, Kim Jong-un, could be responsible for crimes against humanity. Marzuki Darisman is the agency's top investigator for human rights in North Korea. On Monday, he released a report on a UN investigation into human rights abuses in the closed country. The report said the UN Human Rights Council should tell Kim and other senior North Korean leaders that they could be held responsible for human rights crimes. The council will review the report next month. North Korea's human rights abuses are among the worst in the world. UN investigators say the abuses are the worst since World War II. UN investigators have said North Korean leaders should be tried at the International Criminal Court. The UN Security Council would have to approve the prosecution. China and Russia are members of the council. They do not support the prosecution of the North's leaders. They can veto any Security Council decision. UN investigators have accused the North Korean government of operating a large system of prisons holding political prisoners. They say North Korean officials have ordered murder, enslavement, torture, imprisonment, rape, forced abortions, and other sexual violence. Whether women should have to register for U.S. military service is being debated in the United States. Jim Dresbach has more.
Top Army and Marine Corps commanders recently told the Senate Armed Services Committee that American women, like men, should register with the Selective Service System. The Selective Service System is a government agency that registers young males for military duty in case they are called to serve in wartime. By law, American men between the ages of 18 and 25 must provide important personal information to the government, such as birth dates and social security numbers. A bill has been introduced to Congress requiring eligible women to register for the military draft. Political candidates running for president of the U.S. are expressing their opinions about the issue. The idea that the federal government would conscript our daughters and put them in a combat role, in a foxhole, fighting a jihadist is nuts, said Republican presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz. Women who were about to become active duty service members also expressed their opinions on women registering for the draft. Nicole Golfin said, "I think it's a great idea. I think women have just as much power mentally and physical strength to help fight for this country." Another new recruit saw military registration for females differently. "I'm kind of against it," said Danielle Wilkins. "I do believe that women and men should have the same equal opportunities, but I believe it should not be a requirement for women." More than 200,000 women are on active duty in the U.S. military. Some 150 service women have been killed on active duty in American wars and battles since 2001. The United States has not had a military draft since 1973, and registration for the draft began in 1980. I'm Jim Dresbeck.
This is What's Trending Today. Boutros Boutros-Ghali was the United Nations Secretary General in the first part of the 1990s. He died in Egypt on February 16th. He was 93. His name became one of the top trending topics worldwide on Twitter on Tuesday. An Egyptian newspaper, Al Ahram, reported Boutros Ghali died due to complications from a broken pelvis. An Egyptian diplomat, Boutros Ghali was elected to a 5-year term as UN Secretary General in 1991. The Washington Post wrote Boutros Ghali presided over the UN during two of the world's worst genocides. Hundreds of thousands of people from the Tutsi and Hutu ethnic groups in Rwanda were killed during his term. Boutros Ghali called it my worst failure. About 100,000 also died during the civil war in Bosnia. The New York Times called his term a chaotic period. It was marked by diplomatic conflicts with the United States over Bosnia and a failed raid in Somalia that resulted in the death of 15 Americans. The event was documented in a film called Black Hawk Down. The Washington Post also noted there were regular disagreements between the U.S. and the U.N. over unpaid dues totaling close to $1.5 billion. After leaving the U.N., Boutros Ghali wrote in his memoir of the difficulty in dealing with American President Bill Clinton. He wrote, "His mocking pronunciation of my name, Boutros Boutros, sounded like a jeering mob." While there were many tweets and messages of support for Boutros Ghali's family upon the news of his death, there were also some references to his unique name. One person wrote, "God, I loved that man's name." Others were quick to reference a viral video that Boutros Ghali appeared in after his term ended. Boutros Ghali did an interview with comedian Sacha Baron Cohen. Baron Cohen was known in the late 1990s and early 2000s for playing a character called Ali G. Cohen, as the loud, ill-informed street personality Ali G, interviewed celebrities and politicians on his television show. Many of them were flustered by his act, but Boutros Ghali was praised for handling the interview with poise. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
A former reporter for China's official news agency says the government forbids him to accept an award in the United States for a book he wrote about the Great Chinese Famine. Mario Ritter has the report.
Yang Jisheng's book, called Tombstone, was published in 2008. In December, Harvard University's Nieman Fellows Program gave him an award for writing the book. It is 1,200 pages. The book tells about the famine that lasted from 1958 to 1961. Yang estimates that at least 36 million Chinese died during the famine. He wrote that the government hid information about the disaster, which was caused by agricultural mismanagement. As he researched the book, Yang was permitted to see many government documents that others had not read. Recently, China has allowed authors to write about problems during the time of former leader Mao Zedong. But the government does not permit discussion of national disasters. Yang's book has been banned in China. In a telephone interview with the Associated Press on Tuesday, Yang said the official Xinhua news agency would not permit him to travel. He did not say how it would stop him from leaving the country, and he did not say if his passport had been taken from him. Because Yang worked for the Chinese government, his pension could be at risk. Yang says he traveled to Sweden in November to receive the Stieg Larsson Prize in Stockholm. The 76-year-old writer said he accepted the prize with grief. This time he told officials of his travel plans, and they stopped him. He said he could not give more information because he is not permitted to speak to foreign reporters. "I grieve for the 36 million starved dead," he said in a speech. "I grieve that this human tragedy that occurred 5 decades ago is still being covered up, while those who uncover this human tragedy are pressured, attacked, and slandered." After he retired from Xinhua, Yang wrote for a history journal that publishes articles that the government sometimes does not like. In a message published online, he said he stopped working for the journal last year after he was pressured to do so by people at Xinhua. The Xinhua news agency did not immediately answer a message asking for an interview about Yang. I'm Mario Ritter.
Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have created a new kind of bandage. It can provide medicine to a wound and is made of material very similar to human skin. Ann Ball has the story.
Scientists say new man-made materials equipped with sensors could turn bandages into a valuable tool for healthcare workers. Simple bandages are usually seen as the first line of attack in healing small to moderate wounds and burns. They are easy to use, covering up the damaged skin and giving it time to heal. Scientists are now developing bandages with technology currently used in popular wearable devices such as smart watches and fitness trackers. They have begun adding small sensors of all kinds to bandages and making them more sensitive. Scientists are also making new materials called hydrogels. Hydrogels are similar to human skin. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have found a way to combine these two technologies. They created a stretchy polymer with firmness similar to human soft tissue. The new combination product has titanium wires that lie in a zigzag or Z-shaped design. The wires connected to electronic sensors stretch easily without breaking contact with the sensors. The MIT researchers also created strong links between the electronic sensors and the hydrogels. Shenhe Zhao is an associate professor of mechanical engineering. He said the researchers put electronic devices, such as sensors, into the new material. They used a different device to put medicine in the damaged skin. The resulting product becomes a kind of smart wound dressing, one that can react to changes in the skin around it. For example, Zhao said, if there is a sudden increase in temperature, the wound will send out a command. That is when the controlled drug delivery system can deliver a specific drug to that specific location. LED lights in the bandage could warn patients and doctors about changes in different areas. Medication quickly spreads across the bandage through tiny passageways. Researchers say the new material can be used both on the skin and inside the body. Zhao told VOA that he and his team are working hard and hope to get clinical tests soon. But it will be some time before these smart bandages reach the hospital or drugstores. Zhao said he hopes eventually the bandage, will have a broad application. In the future, such products might even contain a computer chip, which would give it more power to analyze what is needed. I'm Ann Ball.
Next, Katie Weaver tells us about the biggest winners at this year's Music Awards ceremony known as the Grammys.
Kendrick Lamar had a big night at the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles, California. The hip-hop artist won 5 Grammys, including Best Rap Album for To Pimp a Butterfly. Lamar also excited the crowd with a dramatic performance of his songs The Blacker the Berry and All Right.
We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. We gon' be all right. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be all right.
And President Barack Obama's favorite rapper was a subject of a White House tweet Monday night. The administration praised Lamar and all the artists at the Grammys working to build a brighter future. In January, Obama and Lamar met at the White House to discuss ways to help children in troubled urban communities.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things, magic, madness.
However, the biggest Grammy Awards went to other entertainers on Monday night. Taylor Swift walked away with Album of the Year for 1989. The Song of the Year Award went to Ed Sheeran for Thinking Out Loud. Singer Meghan Trainor was honored with Best New Artist. And the final of the Big Four Grammy Awards, Record of the Year, went to Mark Ronson and Bruno Mars for Uptown Funk.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty.
The Grammy ceremony is almost as much about the performances as the awards. This year, the audience enjoyed a song from the hit Broadway musical, Hamilton. The show was also honored with the Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album. And Lady Gaga hit all the right notes in her musical tribute to the late rocker David Bowie. There were some disappointments, however, including technical problems. Audio failures left British star Adele sounding flat in the performance of her song, All I Ask.
I see the sunrise creeping in, Everything changes like the desert wind.
Chris Stapleton won the award for Best Country Album for Traveler. He also won the Grammy for Best Country Solo Performance. Best Alternative Music Album Grammy went to Alabama Shakes for Sound and Color. I'm Katie Weaver.
Public speaking is difficult, even frightening, for many. It is a skill that most English learners want to improve. Jill Robbins gives us three ways to improve your public speaking skills in this week's Education Report.
Students in American schools learn from an early age to give presentations as part of their regular classroom activities. Children as young as 5 years old often give brief talks about objects they bring into school, called show and tell. This training is a basis for later public speaking. Even so, many native English-speaking adults are afraid to speak or give presentations in front of a large group. There is a large industry of consultants who train professionals in public speaking. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld said the most common fear people have is public speaking. The second most common fear is death. He made a joke about this. He said, "I saw a thing, actually a study, that said, speaking in front of a crowd is considered the number one fear of the average person. I found that amazing. Number two was death. Death is number two. This means to the average person, if you have to be at a funeral, you would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy. Speaking English in public meetings is necessary for many students and employees. The best way to improve is to practice public speaking in a friendly environment. Learners need to receive feedback about what they are doing well and about their mistakes. One group that gives members the chance to practice is Toastmasters. Toastmasters is an international organization that holds weekly meetings. At the meetings, members each give a speech and give others advice about their speeches and speaking style. Charles LeBeau is a public speaking professor and consultant. He began his career in Japan in 1982. Currently, he teaches at two universities and at the Toshiba International Training Center. He has also written books on the subject. English language learners around the world use his book, Speaking of Speech. Mr. LeBeau says that students in other cultures may not have the chance to practice public speaking as young children. When they reach the college level or enter their career, they need to present well in English. Many careers require public speaking skills.
In Japan now, most students need to do presentations in many of their classes. The other area is professionally. Whatever profession those students are in or going to be in, there's presentations associated with it. So, for example, if they're going to be in sales, presentation is an important part of sales. If they're going to be a teacher, it's an important part of being a teacher. For someone who's going to be in the tourism industry, I think that it's really important. Practically, in almost all kinds of work, there's some opportunity to do some kind of presentation.
Speaking of speech, tells about a method of teaching public speaking for non-native speakers. Mr. LeBeau says a simple approach helps English learners. So, the professor divides public speaking into three parts: the physical message, the visual message, and the story message.
The central thing to remember about public speaking or presentation is that it is a very, very complex, sophisticated communicative activity. For non-native speakers, it's a really scary activity. So to make that more simplistic and easy for them, and to keep it from being so overwhelming, because there's so many things going on, the approach that I've taken is to simplify it and break it down. First, if we look at presentation, what's going on? There are basically three messages that the presenter is giving the audience all simultaneously. There's what I call the physical message. Physical message is basically body language. It's the way that my body as the speaker is talking to the audience. And then there's also the visual message. The visual message now, of course, are the slides that we make and we show the audience. And the third message is the story message. And the story message is the content of our presentation. So another way we can think of the story message sometimes is it is the verbal message. It's what we say to the audience. But the story message also includes how we organize our ideas to present to the audience.
The graphic shows examples of these three messages. Mr. LeBeau finds that company employees are under pressure to perform well when giving professional presentations. He says it can take years to improve general English speaking ability. He says the simple approach to breaking down the parts of public speaking has proved itself. He says learners improve quickly and do a good presentation after a few days of study.
They don't have the time to work and improve their English. They don't have 3 or 4 years to work on their English and, you know, become better English speakers. What they need to do is work on their presentation skills so that they can give a good presentation next week, regardless of the level of their English. So I think this is why focusing on presentation skills is really, really important. Of course, over the long run, they have to improve their English. But if we can help them improve their presentation skills, they can do a good presentation regardless of their English level.
Modern technology is an important tool in teaching and learning public speaking. Many students now have a phone or device that can take videos. Using these videos, students can watch themselves and see how they appear to their audience. They can also watch models of good speeches on the internet and learn from watching videos of public speaking experts. In the next Speaking Tips, we will explore Charles LeBeau's recommendations for improving the physical message. He thinks this is the public speaking skill that is easiest for English learners to improve quickly. I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
Washington, this is VOA News.